This is Lessons from the Upper Room, Week 8. And I was thinking before we move on today in our passage, I was working on my deck this week and reading a product about we just have to, you know, restain the deck and all that, which, right, always that has to be done. And I was reading it and it said, always keep a wet edge. And so when you're doing a project like that, you know, you keep a wet edge. You don't want to come abruptly to a stop and then come back 3 weeks later and start over. You want to keep that continuity going. And I thought, well, that's what we want to do with our Bible study as well, because this is all one continuous conversation. So in order to keep a wet edge on our Bible study, we're going to spend a little time this morning. I want to go through some of the concepts that Jesus has already been unfolding to his disciples. So let me just pray and we'll do that. Father in heaven, we ask that you would illuminate our hearts, open our minds, Lord, even to something new. As we've all done our study this week, you've spoken to our hearts. We just long for more. So even this morning, Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak something new, to bring something into color in our hearts as we go through this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was thinking about three areas for us to review. Two of them have to do with relationships, and one is the role of the Holy Spirit. But I thought about so much that Jesus shared with the disciples and what we learn about relationships of Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and us. And first of all, just in this upper room conversation, the things that Jesus has shared about his relationship to Father God. These are all the things, words, right out of this Bible study that we've done. Jesus said, if you really knew me, you would know the Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you've seen him. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. All of that came from this conversation. So he was really making the point to the disciples. We are one. We are together. You learn about the relationship. Previously, John had recorded in chapter 5, too, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. I saw a picture, I think it was on Facebook, an Awana picture a week or so ago, and it was one of our moms teaching a little Cubbies class. And it just impacted me to see that, because I thought, like I've often said, we need to know theology. We need to understand things. We pass it on to the children. Not to negate the role of the husbands in our family, but by sheer amounts of time, we have so much more time. And we often have that role of teaching in a church setting or something. And I saw that picture of her. I couldn't tell what she was doing, but I thought, see, we need to be constantly in the Word, learning these things that Jesus is saying to the disciples, like, what is his relationship to the Father? What does that look like? So one more relationship, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and us. These are some of the words from the upper room. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. He lives with you and will be in you. And so we learn about the relationship of the Holy Spirit to us. Jesus said to them, he lives with you, but he will be in you. Let's back up to a previous conversation in John chapter 7, when Jesus said to a broad spectrum of people, he said, whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him. And John wrote, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up until that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. Okay, so that was before the upper room. Now if we're at the upper room conversation, and now if we fast forward past Jesus' death and resurrection, we get to John chapter 20. And it says, on the evening of the first day of the week, so this is the evening of the first day, this is the day Jesus was found to be resurrected. When the disciples were together, the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, peace be with you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So we learn from what Jesus said previously, streams of living water will flow from out of you, but not now, because the Spirit isn't given yet, because I'm not yet glorified. In this conversation we're in, he said this is going to happen, and we see in just a couple chapters that it did happen. And so we understand the relationship between the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and us, that the Holy Spirit, the person of the Trinity of the Holy Spirit, comes to live in us. The purpose, streams of living water will flow out of you. And so the other thing I thought of to keep a wet edge on our Bible study is the function of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus had said the Counselor, he called him the Holy Spirit, called him the Helper, called him the Spirit of Truth. All those names in this lesson, whom I send to you from the Father. And then in these chapters, there I counted seven things that Jesus said he will. He will. These are those things that we have learned. He will teach you all things. This is a function of the Holy Spirit. He will remind you of everything that I have said to you. He will testify about me, Jesus. The role of the Holy Spirit is to testify about Jesus, the truth of Jesus. He will guide you into all truth. This one I mulled over last night while I was laying in bed and thinking about this passage. When Paul and I first started walking with the Lord, we found ourselves in a very Pentecostal church. In fact, I took a class called The Holy Spirit and You, which focused on things that are none of this. It was very charismatic. But yet, because we were saved and yielding to the Holy Spirit in our lives, what God was doing in our lives at that time was he was just causing us to have a yearning to pour into the Word. Like, we just started reading the Bible voraciously in a church that wasn't doing that, in a church that was really living off of experience and that kind of thing. Yet, because we were yielding to the Holy Spirit in our personal lives, we just started reading and reading and reading, you know, to where when I was in the hospital giving birth to Nellie, I read the whole book of Acts. That's a work. Usually moms aren't. That's not what you're thinking about when you're giving birth to the your firstborn. But I thought, well, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. See, the Holy Spirit was busy at that young, tender stage of our lives, guiding us into truth. And let's go on. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And there are just a few other New Testament ones that, you know, this isn't a topical study on the Holy Spirit. I want to keep focused on what we are studying. But just since we're closing this portion of the function of the Holy Spirit, I just want to go on and just name three other things that we learn from the Word, from other New Testament passages, that the Holy Spirit, the function of the Holy Spirit, is to give us power. In Acts, it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And did Jesus not say he will testify and you also will testify? So the Holy Spirit will give us that power to testify and to be his witnesses. The Holy Spirit bears witness to our adoption. Paul wrote the Romans and said to the Romans, he said, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit testifies that we belong to God. And lastly, he teaches us what to say. To the Corinthians, Paul wrote, we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. And there are many more things. In fact, I would, if you're interested in this right now in this season, on our church website, there under the topical studies, there's an 8-part study on the work of the Holy Spirit. And so you could just listen to that while you're doing housework or whatever. But so let's go ahead and start with John chapter 16, verse 23. I am going to read 23 and 24, which were part of last week's study to get us going right into the new lesson. It says, in that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. So let's take just that chunk of scripture and talk about it a little bit. We ended last week's lesson with that theme of prayer and asking the Father. Remember my little story about the credit card with my boss's name and how suddenly I was somebody because I belonged to him, and it was all about the name that was set forth. Up until now, God's people, the Jews, they did not approach Jehovah God and ask anything of him without the proper sacrifice and through the proper high priest. That was the method to approach God. Now this is all changing. Jesus is saying it will be different now because I am going to make the proper sacrifice and I am now becoming the new high priest. And it's going to be different. You can ask the Father anything you want through my name. I'm the new high priest. And he will give it to you. In fact, you don't even have to come. I'm not telling you, come to me and I'll go ask Dad. That's not how it works. You will have standing in the family just like me. And you can ask the Father whatever you want in my name, because I'm the one that gave you the standing in the family. So this is a different way of thinking. And in this little passage, you know, we see that all people are enabled to ask the Father in Jesus' name, ask and you will receive. And Jesus went on to say, I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf. And then this is my portion. This is my refrigerator verse for this week. The Father himself loves you. The Father himself, he loves you. Why? Because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. That's huge. How often do we feel just not worthy? How often do we feel God loves other nicer people, but he doesn't love me? And there are lies that come into our heart. The enemy lies to us, and we believe lies. We believe that somehow we're not good enough, we're not worthy. It's true. We're not good enough and we're not worthy. But it's all about that name. It's all about that Jesus ushered us into the family. So here's what I think we need to do with that. When we struggle with something and are tempted to believe more the lies then we believe the truth. I love how Jesus, throughout the Gospel, John always recorded, truly, truly, I say to you. In the NIV, it's, I tell you the truth. King James, verily, verily, I say to you. But truly, truly, okay? Truly, truly, I say to you. Yeah, here's what I think I need to do to my heart. I just need to look at my heart and say, truly, truly, I say to you. Here's the truth. The Father loves me. He loves me. Why? Because I believe in Jesus and accepted him. So now he loves me. That's the truth, and we need to keep telling our heart the truth over and over and over again. That's where meditating on Scripture builds our faith. We just keep saying those verses and speaking that into our heart until our heart finally gets it and believes it and stops believing a lie. So this verse, I think, is just huge. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. That can be said about every single believer, not just the disciples. Anyone who believes Jesus is the Son of God loves him. The Father loves us. Let's go on and read verses 28 to 33. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you're speaking plainly and not using figures of speech. Now we know that you will know all things and do not need anyone to question you." I don't think I read that right. "Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." And Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Okay, so let's unpackage this portion here. Another thing that they're told to expect is they will be scattered. Jesus said, here's what you can expect. You will scatter, you're going to leave me. Previously, Jesus said, here's what you can expect. He told them things so that they would not fall away. And now he's saying so that they would have peace in the midst of turmoil. And this is another super great refrigerator verse, isn't it? In the world, you will have tribulation. Not to be confused with the great tribulation, okay? It's just trouble. In the world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The disciples were about to face a lot of trouble, but it's easy for us to comprehend. We face trouble. In the world, we will have trouble. We live in a sinful world. It's, you know, the world has been given over to the enemy, the prince of the power of the air, and it's filled with sin. And in this world, we will have trouble. But our guarantee is the same as what he just said to the disciples. Take heart. Again, heart. we speak to our heart. Take heart. Grab a hold of that heart and say, but Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome. And so we're tucked in. We're grafted in. That same nourishing sap is coming through us. We have the possibility to have peace in this world of trouble because he has overcome. That, again, is something that we can read and just, because then our heart speaks up again and it says, but I'm hurting. I'm hurting right now. And I really can't absorb this peace. I'm not at peace. My heart is not at peace. And during those times, you know, I don't feel like in my life I've faced a lot of difficult things. My heart's been broken. I've faced all those things. But yet there are things out there that haven't touched me. I haven't lost a child. You know, that's huge. I haven't been in a war-torn country and seen those kinds of things. There's a lot of things that happen in the world that I haven't experienced. In a way, I feel like if you listed all the troubles in the world, I just have lived in cush. I've lived a cushy life. And yet, in my own little world, I have had things that have broken my heart, that have given me trouble. And I know a little bit of what it means to have to grab a hold of my heart and say, but you know what? God is here. He's with me. He lives in me. So if God is living in me, can I not wrap my mind around that and be at peace? Because what can happen? What can happen to me? Even if someone tortures me or kills me, I still go to be with the Lord. My place is secure. My lot is secure forever. So we have to do a lot of speaking to our hearts. We're going to read John 17, just the first five verses, and then the rest of the chapter will be in the next 2 weeks. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." I love how Jesus started his prayer and he lifted up his eyes. you know, we often bow. And that's probably good. I need to limit my distractions. You know, it's why I bow my head. But I love how Jesus lifts up his eyes as if, like, I'm just looking at you, Father. But he says, the hour has come. And we talked about that last week. Jesus knew that the hour had come, that everything that God had ever planned and even foreshadowed, it was happening right now. And he had an assurance, and he was in agreement with that. But this one verse where he says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let's remind ourselves for just a minute about the truth of eternal life. And I'm going to go back to a few other things that you don't have to turn with me, but to what John recorded Jesus saying at other times. In John 5:24, Jesus had said, truly, truly, again, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in me, and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. John recorded Jesus saying in the next chapter, for this is the will of the Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life and will raise him on the last day. And so we can sew those together and recognize that having eternal life means looking, hearing, understanding about Jesus, and then accepting. And of course, we know this, but it's good for us to cover and review, because we have children, we have grandchildren, we have Sunday school classes, and sometimes somebody says things in just a little bit of a different way, and it buries things differently in our heart. And so it's good for us to go over these things. What is eternal life? How do we get there? We've got to hear the gospel. You've got to hear or look upon Jesus. Somebody has to, you know, that word needs to go out, and then we need to embrace it. We need to choose him back. And that is eternal life. And when we think about that word eternal life, and maybe we might consider also everlasting life, but the certainty of it and the foreverness of it is something that I think we want to end with here. Jesus had also said in John chapter 10, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So if we go back to that passage, which that's where Jesus said, I am the gate for the sheep. If we think about that, and he says two times, no one will be able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. It gives us just a sense of peace, a sense of security. Because again, what happens to us as human beings, we hear the gospel, we hear about Jesus, we look upon him, we believe, we accept him, and now the Holy Spirit lives within us, and we are in the Father's hand. That's how Jesus put it. He says, they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So this is where you live. You are held in the Father's hand with the Spirit of God residing in you. No one can snatch you out of that place. I personally happen to believe we still have the free choice to leap out of there on our own. But I do not believe that anyone or anything can separate us from the love of God, can snatch us out of the Father's hand. And this is eternal life. Once we make that decision, eternally, we are in the Father's hand. We belong to him. The Father himself loves you, right? You're in his hand. Jesus opened up that way for us to be in there, held in his hand. And so a lesson like this, these words, I think, is a good lesson for us to go over. Because when we draw back from the troubles of the day, the busyness of the day, all the issues that we have, and we just spend 30 minutes talking about how much God loves us, how Jesus prepared the way, how we are in the Father's hand, how no one can snatch us out of the hand. When we leave here today and big trouble hits us this afternoon, we can take a deep breath and say, well, I'm still in the Father's hand. I was this morning, and I am this afternoon. The Holy Spirit still lives in me forever. I will give you the Spirit of truth who will live in you forever. That hasn't changed. Jesus has still gone to prepare a place for me to take me to be with him where he is. That hasn't changed. There are so many things that never change, regardless of what trouble hits us, what phone call comes, what disappointment, what tragedy. These things are the things that never change. So it's good for us to talk about it, to be assured, to know that where we go to when the trouble hits us of this world. So the one last thing that I do just really love in this is Jesus said, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. I've just always loved that example of faithfulness in Jesus. And, Paul taught about it on Sunday, the faithful servants. Jesus set us an example. He accomplished the work that God gave him to do. And in the same way, we have been given a certain amount of talents, that measure of something to do that God wants us to accomplish. And I would like to be able to say, I have accomplished the work that you gave me to do. So this is an inspiration to me as well. So as we kind of transition into your discussion, I just want to encourage you with one another to go ahead and talk about some of the things that you have learned about the role of the Holy Spirit, things that you have learned about your relationship with the Father, with the Son, with the Spirit. Any inspiration that the Lord has put in your life about your particular prayer life because of these words of Jesus that, you can ask the Father in my name and all those kinds of things. And I'll just pray that your discussion will be a rich time. So, Father, we thank you for your words. Thank you for the beauty of this particular passage, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that we would walk daily in those assurances that you were conveying to your disciples, but you planned for it to be recorded for us to read and review and study and go over and meditate over and over and speak to our hearts until the truth covers every lie that we're tempted to believe. And Lord, I pray for myself and my sisters, Lord, that that would be a task that we would set out upon, is speaking the truth to our hearts until our heart just believes every part of your word, Lord, and is able to just rebound any lie that comes in from the enemy. So, Lord, I pray for our time together in discussion, and we commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.